So you're emerging from centuries of sleep as the memories of your simulacrum, Emeline Cartier, a famous, or somewhat famous, young adult occult novel writer, comes to you.
I'm sorry, I am Emeline Cartier, a young adult author. This is like my fantasy real life. Emeline wakes up. And she sees these two characters. So what does she see? Could you guys describe what you look like?
They both look like hippies, I think.
So you see to the side, well, the hand that just that you remember carried you and just actually talked to you really, really aggressively and kidnapped you?
Your most recent memories are a bit confused. You remember investigating something for a novel project, of course?
I say, if you guys want to know the ending of my next novel, this is not the way to go about doing it.
Just chuckle.
What?
And what you see chuckling, who nipped the gag away, is a quite tall, lanky, thin, bony guy, dark haired, looks disheveled hair, a little bit longish, hasn't shaved in several days, a week probably. Faint smell around of like burnt wood sort of thing. Jeans, holes in jeans, smoking. Okay. Snarking, and with a colorful red-ish t-shirt that says Fête de la Musique, Zebda, 1994.
So when you say your latest novel, are you a writer?
Valeria looks and sees that these may be of her own kind. And she says, Emeline is a very successful novelist.
Emeline who?
Emeline Cartier.
Yes, I've read some of her novels.
That's my name. Why have you gentlemen conducted yourselves in this manner? Who are you and what are you about?
We're like you. We're both Nephilim.
Can I use my car vision to look at them?
Of course, yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. So I roll 43.
You see Faerim, Nephilim of the Earth, and you see a Pyrim, a Nephilim of the fire.
The smoking.
Okay,
guy.
That's why. I get it now. That's why he's smoking and he smells of fire. I nod and I say, I see we are of the same kind. How did I come to get here? Why have you manhandled me in a matter? And I hope you were both gentlemanly.
Sure. He did it. I was just watching.
Well, I mean, you brought her back. Well, listen, of course, yes, we were completely gentlemanly. Sort of. We brought you back. I mean, I'm basically on a mission. Listen, I'm just trying to pay it back. Happy to bring you back. Happy you're back. Sorry for whatever happened before. Don't know what the hell happened to you. And yet, I believe that we're on some kind of mission. So basically, long story short, do you know the Emperor?
I know. I have met many emperors.
No, I mean the Arcana, the Emperor, yeah.
The Emperor Carnum.
Yeah.
You have never heard about the Arcana.
Wait, how long has it been? When's the last thing you remember?
The last thing I remember, I had set off after the Great War of Troy.
Oh,
Were there no Arcana around then?
I don't know. Probably not. All right, well, you can explain what happened to her. Fill her in, because this lady has been a while. Like a long time.
How many centuries was I out?
Like 20.
Okay.
More than 20.
More than 20.
25.
Something like that.
Wow. It's been a whole new
things have changed.
World. How do I know that song?
Yeah, exactly.
Crikey. So
it's been a while. Sorry about that. You, whatever
so
happened.
So I quickly, in my head, consult my calendar, referring back to the day of the Saturn moon. That is extremely applicable to my situation.
Okay.
Could you tell me where I am at on that?
Yes, you think you're a bit confused in your memories because your memories tell you are 4 days from summer, but no, you're struggling with those memories because it tells you summer warm. Why for you? No, summer is cold because that's when you can grow stuff in Greece.
So in my head, like all I can remember is the first day of winter is super important.
Yeah.
And I have this urge and that memory surfaces. But the other feeling that surfaces is relief because it seems that I won't have to wait any more millennia now that I've woken up. So
we brought you back. We're on a mission. Mm-hmm. We're the good guys. Although, you know, good guys have to take some of the bad methods. Sorry about that. It happens. You're disoriented. Would you like a drink? I just hand her a flask.
Without checking, drink what was in the flask.
You say, what alchemists do? Oh, I'll drink it. I don't care. It'll do something to me.
Yeah.
Seems to be some cheap alcohol.
You know that we're on a mission, yes? No?
Valeria says, of course I know we're on a mission. Remind me of the main priorities of that.
Wait, how would she know she's on a mission?
I thought I'd ask.
Okay.
I feel like I have been brought back for some reason, and the two of you may have something to do with it.
That is true. We brought you back. But there's like, we're on a mission from the boss.
I really appreciate you bringing me back, but I am an independent woman, so let's be comrades.
Of course.
Sure, as long as you tell us where the artifact is.
We're looking for this artifact.
Describe the artifact to me.
Well, we were hoping you would describe it to us, but...
The last artifact I came into contact with was a piece of material with very special properties.
Great, that's the one.
Would this be the Zufos of Philoetius?
Yes.
No.
She's lying.
Oh, okay.
What is a Zufos? What?
It's a sword.
Okay, I'll behave. I don't have a clue what that artifact is, I'm sorry. I don't have that in my memory.
The Xiphos of Philoetius, you know, because that's the name of your sword.
Oh, hang on a minute. Shring!
No, you reach for your side and there's nothing there. Again, you're just wearing this very light, what you know now to be a medical gown.
Oh, okay. This is like very 28 days later. I love it. So if the podcast listener can imagine, she goes to pull out her sword from a scabbard with this massive shring and nothing happens.
She's barefoot in a gown.
She's in her like green medical gown or whatever.
In the middle of a damp crypt.
Yeah.
So...
We discussed about Nephilim, we discussed about Mira's character. That's a good excuse to discuss about something which people might want to jump forward if they don't want to have secrets. Some Nephilim which managed to find a way not to possess humans anymore, and that's the Selenims.
Can I also just say that if you are requiring a player to be a double agent, probably the player that knows the least about the game is the right one to do that, because... they have no knowledge about what is and isn't allowable in the game. They don't have any knowledge of the legends or the knowledge that's already passed. So even though it's profoundly confusing and I felt really bad deceiving my fellow players, it made it really exciting for me.
Yes, however, that depends how devious your player tends to be. Just say, like, not that I would ever be devious in a game, but you know.
Okay, so some of them don't... control humans. Instead, they are emotional vampires. They're like Molossar in the novel The Keep. They feed off the emotions of human beings.
Which could be positive emotions, but it's much easier to get negative emotions.
They also look after the dead, don't they?
I don't quite remember. They're often around cemeteries and this sort of things. They just remain in whatever body simulacrum they are. And
they can't
just
change the appearance of the body? They can get claws and wings and stuff.
Yeah, there are special rules, but again, like this is like what's funny is my automatic reaction is this stuff like I've kept secret always. It's just an automatic, like I never wanted to talk about it. I always thinking that one day I would run the campaign and it's really important that you don't know anything about the Selenium. They're really mysterious. Otherwise, yes, you can technically, if you get ridiculously powerful, which generally is not really going to be happening to many players, you can change your body and...
You can create your own realm or kingdom, can't you?
Yes. So, I mean, I don't know how much detail you want to go to explain this whole thing. I don't know.
As I explained at System Mastery, the thing is we are telling people there's stuff written in the books, but are they true? We don't know, because the Game Master might change it.
I don't even mean from a spoilers perspective, it's just...
I think the idea is to give the appetite towards, wow, that seems to be a cool game.
It is a cool thing to be able to create your own kingdom made of Dark Moon material.
Yay.
Yes, exactly. And so the Selenim harkens back to there used to be a Dark Moon that was created by the dinosaurs. Of course, obviously. And the dinosaurs were this race of super reptilians. Like, this is similar to the conspiracy theorists. You know, you can read David Icke for reference.
Lizard men.
They had the Tyrannosaurus Rex priest.
Exactly, T-Rex priest.
At the end of the Serpent Moon mini campaign, this Saurian, this dinosaur, reappears. So that's a big spoiler for you. There are also other kinds of Nephilim. So you've got the Taoists, who I think have different elements. So they use the Chinese alchemical elements.
Well, I don't know those ones.
And then you've got the Loa, who are these like Haitian voodoo spirits that ride you and stuff.
Never heard of that.
Can I just say that you and I are at the opposite ends of like just knowing stuff? Like, you know everything.
Thank you very much.
I think one thing about the kind of beauty and the grace of this game is if you wanted to invite gamers and you knew they had certain types of games that they loved more, you could probably set them in any kind of universe or time period with this game. If you had some real hardcore techies, you could start your Nephilim in Silicon Valley, right? In the 90s or the noughties. And
there's one of the 22 arcana based on the cards of the tarot. You got 22 groups, association of Nephilims, which are around the interest. It's not a so formal organization, but one of them is a chariot. And these are the Nephilims who are passionate about machinery, science.
Industry,
so
yeah.
In Silicon Valley, you would have a couple Nephilim being like, yeah, Elon Musk, yeah, I'm behind, I love that.
So for me, I think the game is so adaptable. You could probably pretty much draw anybody in, and then it never has to end. You could jump through so many periods in history. And that's kind of super appealing, I think. And being able to swap in and out of human bodies, it just gives so much scope and range. It feels quite liberating, I think.
One game that brings to mind is Vampire the Masquerade. Because when I read the Selenim supplement, I thought, this sounds like Vampire. I think they even have princes in the Selenim.
Came before Vampire the Masquerade, though. Just about the same time or before. I don't remember the dates now.
The American edition was around about 1995, so it was a few years after Vampire the Masquerade.
One came out in 1991, I think?
92. But I don't know when Masquerade first came out.
About 1990.
Vampire the Masquerade is a good comparison, but at the same time, I would agree with Mira. You can do more different things. You could do exactly what you do. I think the big difference with Vampire the Masquerade, and that's where also with the thing Nephilim being the villains, I disagree, is that in Vampire the Masquerade, the vampires pretty much control society. While in Nephilim, they don't. They got some groups who attempt to do that and manage to do it to some extent, but the idea is that mainly society is controlled by minor arcanas, which are the human secret societies.
Generally, the enemies of the Nephilim control a lot more of levers in society than the actual players do. I mean, that's more the tendency, I think, the trend.
One of the differences between French and American Nephilim is that in French Nephilim, they've got the minor arcana, so each of the suits of the tarot has one grouping of secret societies associated with it. In American Nephilim, it's nothing like that. It's just lots and lots of secret societies, the main ones being the Templars.
Yeah, so just for that's another of the association with mythology is the tarot cards. As you said, the 21 arcana are associated with Nephilim organizations and the lower suits are associated with human organizations, typically threats.
Yeah, we go into details, but the Nephilim arcana are the Marseille tarot. The minor arcana are, I don't know how to call that, another card game, which is an Italian card game, which I used to play. It's called Piacentine, where you've got the coins, you've got the swords, you've got the sticks.
Which actually, this from a media inspiration perspective, brings us back towards the Tim Powers books. For anybody who's read Last Call, Last Call is a contemporary book with a lot of mythology and magic and all associating with gambling and Las Vegas and cards and tarot cards versus normal cards, and which is a fantastic book to read, not only because it's a great book, but for anything to do with occult contemporary game settings, such as Nephilim, it's a fantastic book to read.
I was thinking about anything similar to this game that I'd come across in literature and movies and things. And two things came to mind. One was Cloud Atlas, which is a pretty famous book by David Mitchell. And it's about reincarnation through the ages. So you have this continual regeneration of the similar character in a new era. And then also we were talking about vampire games. So if you read the Vampire Lestrade books, the Anne Rice books, many of the vampires are kind of created and then spend the whole book searching for why they've been created, what powers they have. So those themes kind of really jumped out at me.
We said we would wait for this.
Oh, but I thought there was a segue. Okay. Which he said the book, and then Callum, you look. Callum, you gave me a look like, talk about the book now. So
have you played Vampire the Masquerade?
No, I haven't. But now I want to because I've heard you guys talking about it.
Okay, well, because the Anne Rice books were a large part of the inspiration for Vampire the Masquerade.
There
and
you go.
As well as the other books of World of Darkness. My apologies. Everybody knows this stuff.
World of Darkness is Vampire the Masquerade.
Not only. There's like the rest of the World of Darkness, so you got werewolves, you got changelings.
Wraith. You got Prometheans, which is very unpopular.
A bunch of different types of like...
Yeah.
Supernatural characters in the same kind of gaming universe.
But I do know that artifact. I knew my first answer was correct. I did know it.
No, sure. I mean, listen, I know it takes a bit. It happened to me a couple, like, whatever, however long it was. It takes a while. I'm sorry about that. Although, it's been, like, longer for you.
The Zuflos is a sword. It used to be my sword. Ooh. It was a kick-ass sword.
So that's what I've heard, yes.
I have no
is
idea
that what
where it's
looking
now.
For?
No, that's not the artifact I'm looking for, but you know the location of this artifact?
I would imagine it's at the bottom of the ocean, the Mediterranean Sea, which is where I last had it.
Not the sword?
Oh, I have no idea what artifact...
Okay, first, the Xiphos of Philotius, you know about it because you've been researching it.
Yeah.
With the Papes, who is in charge of gathering information for the Nephilim. You were not able to locate it. What you were able to locate...
was a copper bowl.
Yes, a copper bowl, which you have with you.
So I've got the copper bowl.
I say, where the hell did you get this copper bowl?
It came into my...
Valeria takes it.
Cut up your sword.
She tries to put it in a pocket, but realizes she has no pocket. This is something that I have owned for as long as I can remember.
Well, I own it now. Surely.
This is a copper bowl, some used to say, of supreme moral benediction.
That's it.
And that sound emanates when she rubs her hand around the bowl. So I can't really remember what this does. It's something to do with the Pope, maybe?
You do remember it cures mental illnesses. What's now today in the year 1995 is called a mental illness.
Okay.
What's just called hysteria.
I say... we can make a fortune in this era with this. It basically cures mental illnesses.
Do you know where I picked you up?
I put it on your head.
So wait. Do you know where I picked you up?
I'm waiting for someone to do a very quick summary of where you got me from.
Right. So let's take things one step at a time.
Okay.
You've been away asleep for a long time. There's a lot going on here that you don't know.
I stopped trying to put the bottle on his head.
Yes, please. It might go on your head. I don't know. In your time, do you remember in ancient Greece? So first of all, do you remember in ancient Greece there was a place... was it Gaul then?
I'm not sure. They probably didn't think about France a lot in ancient Greece, I wouldn't have thought. They're colonies in Italy, but probably not France.
So a long time ago, a country that wasn't my own.
Yes, so we're in a country nearby, near there.
Okay.
Not far off. So a bunch of other countries grown from there. There's a lot of technology. You'll catch up. Don't worry. And meanwhile, mental issues, the woman writer you're just being proud about, which is your new simulacrum, just to host your new host, welcome you on this, 20th century.
Uh-huh.
we just picked up from a mental hospital.
Oh.
When you says we, that's not completely true. I think it was my colleague who did all that. I just...
The we is in the blade.
Oh, the blade. You know about the blade?
The blue I don't blade? Think so. The blue blade didn't exist then. The blue blade is this organization thing, secret whatever, that woke us up, or at least woke me up. I don't know about you. Did it woke you up too? These guys are looking after us, or at least woke us up, just like they sent us to wake you up. And there's a lot of Nephilim waking up these days.
Okay.
I'm just running some errands, including yours. Okay. So it's always good to be of service, take care of some brothers and sisters that need waking up. You know, I'm sorry it's been a long time. You know, they're looking for an artifact. That's about it. That's, well, not about it, but like one stage.
They're looking for an artifact that they think I may not have knowledge of.
Yes, that's it. That's exactly. And it's really important. It's really important because I don't know how active the Selenim were back in ancient Troy.
I had no dealings with them.
Right. They're pretty important right now. There's the cult of
Lilith.
And, well, this artifact, we want to use this against the cult of Lilith to protect people from the awakening of Lilith by the Selenim. And also, I assume they didn't tell you about the apocalypse back in ancient Troy.
Apocalypse? These names are not familiar to me. You woke me up in time for an apocalypse. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. That's what we're here for.
Something really important happened about 700 years after you went to sleep. There was a Nephilim and a human fetus combined. This, it was a zero arcanum Nephilim. It was a full Nephilim. And this cult developed among the humans, which they called Christianity. And in Christianity, in which they worship this zero arcanum Nephilim, they call him Jesus Christ.
What?
One of their early prophets... called Saint John, he predicted there would be this apocalypse, and a lot of people nowadays think the apocalypse will happen around about 1999. No one knows exactly what's going to happen, but it could be really good.
Are you high?
I'm sorry?
Are you high?
It looks high.
You look high.
Really?
Wait, are you in charge of this operation?
He's a hippie. Of course he's high.
Since you met me, I've become a bit paler, and my voice has gone a bit deeper. Is that right?
Yeah, it's right.
So maybe I am high. So that's what the apocalypse... We're not sure what the apocalypse is, but it could be really bad. Or it could be really good.
One of the questions was, what can you actually play in Nephilim?
Well, I was running a campaign with only one other player, and I had a Pyrim, a fine Nephilim player character, who was American, and he'd been incarnated in France in the 19th century. And because so much of the stuff from Nephilim is Francocentric, I moved the campaign to Paris. And they're wandering around Paris, and they're trying to find out what's going on, who are the occult movers and shakers and so forth. And my character kept... We both kept failing our Arcanum lore. So we would occasionally see... We see bits of graffiti and so forth, but we wouldn't realise what it signified. I thought the player would find this really frustrating. We thought, no, that's really realistic. You go to a strange city, you don't know what's going on. You certainly don't know what the occult underground's like.
Well, actually, is this a good point to talk about the system? Or
I don't like systems. I think, well, personally,
just like you don't like any systems.
No, I mean, it's not my forte. I don't think it's a forte of my show. I don't know. Maybe people can come back to me and comment on that.
It doesn't have to be a long conversation, but just for anybody who doesn't know, the system is based on the basic Chaosium role-playing game, which is percentiles. Which, like, to your comment about failing rolls, that happens quite a lot, which, like, happened a lot in RuneQuest as well, at least to me, where you have, like, loads of skills at 20 to 30% and you're rolling two...
Actually, about that, I really don't like the Chaosium system in Call of Cthulhu, and I don't know if it's because something is missing, but I realized by rereading the US version of Nephilim that actually they came up with something which was quite simple and smart, at least if you like multiplications. So I don't know if it's part of the Chaosium system, but if it's an easy roll, your skill is times 3. If it's an average roll, it's your skills times 2, and if it's difficult, it's your skill times 1. And I find it so much better because how many times in Call of Cthulhu is like, you're this great bodyguard.
And you trained very well in handguns. You've got 60% because you're so great at it. Congratulations. Almost one time out of two, you're going to fail miserably. So I thought this idea of it's easy, you multiply by two, it makes things easier, yeah.
Am I right in thinking that almost every spell that we tried to cast in our game failed?
Yeah, it's normal.
But one of the things that I like about the French system is that, okay, in the American system, if you fumble, so if you roll 0-0 on percentile dice, you're doing a magical operation, in the French system, there's a really cool fumble table for the different magical techniques.
Dragon effect. So. And the best stories from players, and actually there's an episode of the Rollies podcast where I ask people tell their best story. Persephilia best story was about a critical failure at Nephilim. I guess it's the same with all the games, but what people remember the most fondly is those times where they screwed up big time and everything went into flame, everything, there was a tornado and then this sort of things happening.
So where on planet Earth are we?
Oh, right.
France. So that's, you see where Italy is, Greece, Italy. France is still in the Mediterranean. There's like the Iberia, the Gaul.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you?
Oui.
It's starting to make sense as memories come back to you. Italy, you, Emily had very nice holidays in Italy. And France, she's not from France. She's from the America, but her family came from France.
Okay. So can you guys help me find some clothes?
As you can see, we frequent clothing emporiums all the time.
Okay, one of you could give me a jacket. Hey,
do you give her a status?
Oh, you might want this back. I'll give her a status item.
Okay, thank you.
You might need that.
I look at my lucky charm fossil, and I remember the ancient creatures that crawled the earth when I first came here as pure energy. It gives me heart and makes me determined to get some clothes.
Okay. I'm sure there'll be somewhere around here where we can get... But probably not in the middle of the night, though, but...
Well, what if you give me a jacket?
Okay.
And then, you know, if you have a sweater, I'll improvise it into, like, a...
Give me a jacket. We'll find another...
This is quite a worn, old jacket. It's like it's been around the world quite a few times. And there are definitely bits of burn... burn marks on it as well.
So, look, He's definitely a stoner. Look at all these blint burns. And I wear the jacket, and I'm imagining it's long enough to look like to cover me up enough that people won't notice I'm in a hospital gown.
Well, right now you're in the middle of a crypt in the woods. So
you brought me to a crypt in the woods in a hospital gown to tell me about the apocalypse.
That's it.
Guys, I love the way you set a scene.
Those aren't cigarette burns. Those are lava burns.
Crikey.
Let's just go then. I just, like, walk out, throw a cigarette to the floor and, you know, walk out.
Do you pick it up?
Do I pick it up?
Because you're an earth person. You might be like, oh, don't litter.
I suppose I'm going to pick it up. I'm going to look for a bin in a disused chapel in the middle of nowhere.
I look up and see if I can see the moon and what stage it's in.
You get out of the crypt and the rain has stopped. There you find back the night sky.
I look at the stars. I remember having watched them for millennia, and then I just keep an eye on the moon, see what it's doing.
You can roll me for astrology.
I rolled 60.
You look at the sky, and first, you know the stars so well that you can locate yourself around, and it confirms that your sort of geographic location. So you work out that from your back, your memories, both in the time of the Neolithic, when you were worshipping those stars, and your time in the ancient Greece, as you were discussing with priests, that you should be not far from a place, an Egyptian outpost, which used to be called Bar Isis, the boat of Isis.
Okay.
It was a temple on the middle of a river, on an island. Indeed, you are a few days from what would have qualified as winter in ancient Greece, but today qualifies as summer. You've got 4 days to go to where you want to go to.
Guys, I have to take off now. I'm headed back to Greece.
What? Is this the mission for the Blue Blade?
What do you mean you're headed back to Greece?
I have to meet an old boyfriend. Promised that if we were ever separated by the death of our son, thingamabobs,
yeah,
that we would meet at the feet of the Pintos Mountain.
Well, wait, we just woke you up.
We can go along if this is part of the mission.
Wait, I don't know what's part of the mission. So wait 1 second. Like, you just barely woke up. We woke you up. Let's talk about this.
Back in the car, you found a shop along the superhighway where you managed to buy not very flattering clothes, but at least you got clothes now.
So yeah.
You change into the bathroom of a petrol station. You're back sitting in a car smelling of both wood, hummus, and...
Compost.
And you smell of?
I think I smell of starlight.
What does starlight smell of?
It smells of, like, unicorns and rainbows.
Oh, of course. I do not smell of hummus. I smell of humus.
I I think I probably actually smell of Lily, the smell of death.
You know it's on your character sheet, you don't have
no, to... No, I was being descriptive, I was getting into my role. Okay, where does it say what I smell of?
Critical role generation.
Oh, this is horrible. I smell acidulous.
What?
Is that even a word? Is that a French word?
Like vinegar.
Oh my God.
No, not like vinegar, like these, like the sweets.
Like a Haribo tangy smell.
And unicorns.
Well, the thing is, I only smell of that, like, very, very faintly. Like, of all my aspects, it's the least... It's, like, 1 point of my aspects.
Oh, well, I'm probably...
Probably, I'm probably... You know, in the supermarket, I bought some body spray.
So you don't smell it over the smell of burnt wood and hummus?
I've only got 3 points in hummus.
Listen, like, the Blue Blade is this organization that is, like, waking up some Nephilim, taking care of them... We're charged to take care of you. In exchange, we got to find that artifact.
Okay.
That is the deal.
Did you know someone called Eumaeus the Swineherd?
Oh, my old friend.
Good.
Oh, great. Yeah, that one.
Just to say, when in my era, the only secret societies were those... sent to hunt and kill Nephilim.
That's pretty much what we've got as well. We face being hunted and killed by Templars and other people like
Do
that.
Do you trust the Blue Blade organization?
Oh, the Blue Blade are the good guys.
Are they?
Well.
What do you think?
I think they're the good guys. Yeah.
Goodish.
Okay, so...
But I don't know you. I've not met you. Yes, they're
Valeria
good.
Valeria's secretly suspicious of this organization, but she's not letting that out. If I can help you find my old friend, I would truly love to be reunited with him.
Your stasis was actually identified by him. He is a Nephilim called Curiel, who is part of the Blue Blade.
Oh, okay, interesting. So let's go find him. But the thing is, I really have to make this date. I feel... I have, you know, a limited window to be there.
So wait, what are you looking for?
I have an ex-lover.
This isn't the swine boy, is it? This is somebody else.
It's somebody else.
All right.
And I pledged that when I was reincarnated, when I came back, we would meet there on the first day of winter. If I miss this opportunity, I may never see him again.
Well, I mean,
what day?
Until the next day.
What's the date?
You're on the 17th of June.
But you've got quite a way to go to the first day of the winter.
No, I feel like the temperature's just all messed up.
What?
Winter's in December.
Yeah, winter is in December. What is
Guys, I appreciate you saving me, but I know I can feel I have 4 days to travel to Greece.
Well, I that's very nice that you appreciate us saving you, and we hope that you're going to help us in return, like achieve some of the objectives. You're
I'll help
debt,
you.
Gratitude.
Like, let's all go to Greece, and then when I've done what I need to do there, we can rally and.
How about we find that artifact, and then you go on your way, or do whatever.
The last place I was with any of my belongings was Greece.
Do we know what this artifact is?
Unless we're talking about a blanket.
Blanket? What blanket?
The only thing of great power I have seen. Was a blanket, which... and then she realises it's foretold. I was told to gather a party and bring them, and the way I would be able to bring them was by offering them this blanket. the blanket. The blanket is full of an unearthly power when you look at it with car vision.
Oh, I see, okay.
I've seen it with my own eyes, and although I reached to touch it, the holder of the said blanket refused to give it to me until I returned with companions. And he is this ex that I told you about.
Right.
So he has the blanket.
So we're going to Greece.
Is it a golden blanket?
How did you know that?
Well, there's stories.
If you were looking through your simulacrum's eyes, you would not see it as golden. But if you looked at it through car vision...
The golden fleece.
It's not a fleece. I asked that question and the guy laughed at me.
He's not called Jason, is he?
No, no, I said that too and he rolled his eyes. I feel like he'd heard that before.
I'm going to correct you. There's one spell which was thrown effectively... It was Mira spells.
Perfect timing. Exactly when we needed it.
In D&D, if you do something like that, it's a magical kingdom. It's a magical area. There isn't a lot of plexiglass. That would have been a brilliant spell if I was playing D&D. And I feel the DM potentially could have given me an inspiration or made that idea work because it was so inspired and last moment thinking. So, hey.
Just for slight background, I'll explain what was going on. While I was piloting a small...
They're going to hear it.
Oh, all right. They're going to hear it. I forgot about that.
I just want to get this in really quick. One of the appealing things about this to me is potentially I could be Cleopatra. I could be Boadicea. I could be Eva Peron. I could basically inhabit any strong personality and change the fate of the whole human world as a side quest to attaining my, you know, eventual reincarnation or my true power. So I was like, this is a great game for ego heads. This is awesome. You can affect a whole two universes.
William, do you have an adventure you remember fondly?
One of them I remember fondly was like a lot of them, because I bought the books, I used a lot of the stuff, the material that was published. And one in particular called La Dame de 11 Heures that I spent a lot of time researching and organizing a game for. So like I really printed out like supplementary materials and I designed and made handouts. Yeah, a lot of handouts like with secret messages that the players had to decipher. I created a cipher for them. I created some fake news articles and fake stuff that I printed out and copied from research news articles from the island in Greece in Corfu. Capri.
Isn't Capri in Sicily?
No, Capri is its own island.
Okay.
Off the coast of Greece.
Sorry for the listeners of Capri.
So anyhow, that was one episode I remember, game I remember particularly fondly because I really spent a lot of time and I put a lot of effort into preparing it.
Can I just, something else that reminds me of, it was probably scenario, but the three of the clues, one was in Old French, one was in Ancient Greek, and one was in German. Okay, I didn't write the whole thing down, but I tried to emulate this.
That's your job, also.
I'm a translator, yeah. But I really hate it when people think like translators can just wave a magic wand and they can translate text. Well, in Nephilim, they can if they know the spell. And the player did this and got them translated. And they asked me, so what languages are they? I went, you don't know. But I've just cast a spell. The spell won't tell you what the languages are. It will only translate them. And part of the clue is what period of Greek, what period of French, what period of Persian.
Oh, that's smart. That's actually an excellent idea. My own best memory is much more silly. I had a series of scenarios. So I was a player. I was playing Kalum. And it happened that we were in Egypt and we pretty much ran into three pharaohs reincarnation, which were not really related, but three in a row. So... by the time of the last one, we were really like, yeah, that's great. The last one, we went down this pyramid and the game master started describing and the walls are covered with human skin. And you're like, yeah, yeah, we know. And we go down the pyramid and there's an army of people standing still. They desiccated and everything. Yeah, right, great. Anything magical? No. And you go to the back of the room and this mummy stands. There's a magical thing happening. Apparently a Nephilim reincarnated back into that pharaoh. And you're like, okay, third this week, fine. And the guy is like,
I am Pharaoh and my name is whatever. I came back and I'm going to rule the earth. And me and my friend Muriel, who was playing Selenium, we were both like, yeah, you know, it's 1999, the apocalypse is coming. There's really a lot going on. I think you should get informed a bit before doing whatever. I am the god. I'm going to rule the earth. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Of course you will. Take these talisman with my name and spread my word. Yeah, right. We're going to put them on the way out. Because we're like, yeah, we don't want to be possessed by this guy. What does he do? Universal language. Okay, cool, fine. And we get, okay, we're going to go there. We're going to go out and tell everybody in the world you're back to rule them. And when we went out, we ran into creatures. I still don't know what they were, some kind of angels. But proper angels who told us, hey, we're looking for this guy. We're like, oh, this guy is right downstairs. Here's his talisman. Have fun. And they went there. We don't know who they were, but they wrecked the place. And we just left. But that was this big... I like that with Vampire and Nephilim, these scenes of you play those big, powerful beings. And just like you did, guys, you end up having just an argument and yelling at each other on the Greek beach at night, like, what did you do? You stupid! Never do that again! And you're a very powerful being, but in a very, very trivial situation sometimes.
So let's go to Greece. Can we drive in this contraption?
I don't know. It's his car.
We can drive to Greece. It might take a while.
Is it an island? I mean, what's happened to the continents? Is it all one mass still?
What? No.
There are islands. There are a lot of Greek islands, but there's mainland Greece as well.
We'll catch you up on the way. Like the Americas. It's all like a whole thing.
France isn't technically an island, but culturally, yes, it is an island.
They have email now.
Racism. It's good to see that's alive.
Oh, racism is flourishing in France.
Fantastic.
Racism is flourishing everywhere, I think.
These stupid humans.
Nah. They're smart. They made up email. Like, they got this new thing going on called the internet. It's interesting.
No.
Plus photos of dead people.
Humans are a pretty evil bunch. There's racism, there's the internet.
Yeah.
I didn't say it was evil.
So we go to Greece. No. We arrive in Greece.
Well.
Whoa. Nice try.
That never ever works.
We could drive to Greece or we could get a plane.
What's a plane?
I think we should get a plane.
It's a metal.
I think we should
bird.
We should take the car to Geneva. We'll probably
flies in the sky.
You close to Lyon, no? C'est où Provence déjà? Where's Provence?
It's near Paris.
All right. So what kind of money means? Do you have money?
Not much. You're not a wealth.
Enough to buy a flight to Greece or no?
Enough to buy a flight to Greece, yes.
EasyJet or Ryanair or the French equivalent.
Emmeline's memories are really seeping through you. So you're starting to get things a bit more.
Oh, my intelligence. Hang on. I've got a new sheet now. This other one might be more clever than the first one. So, intelligence. Yes, 15 now.
Okay, so you think that whatever low-cost or even regular aviation airlines might indeed be taken to go to Greece, it might be difficult to do so with the weapons you've got in the trunk and you probably want to keep along.
So we're going to drive?
However, someone among you has got access to planes.
I do.
You do.
Can I get us on a plane then?
Well, you can pull levers here and there and call for a couple of favors and borrow a plane, yes.
Great, I'll borrow a plane. Just go to wherever my military base is and get in contact with a few people.
It's not a military base, just an aero club you know in the area, which was recommended by someone you knew, and you get a little Cessna all for yourself when you fill in the flight plan and all of that without any trouble.
Okay, cool. Great.
Awesome.
We're flying. Have you flown before?
Can you fly? Are you like a pilot?
Did you know that was a thing?
Well, he told me about the metal bird. Extrapolated.
Yes, we're going in the metal bird.
Woo woo!
Yes, I can fly.
Valeria is freaking out, excited.
I think Emmeline made her very quirky compared to her previous simulacra.
I know, because my previous simulacra had just dealt with the war and death. Yeah, and now she feels free.
Are we going to keep all our weapons and stuff in one compartment of the plane?
There's like a tiny thing for luggage at the bottom, and then there's four seats. It's like really small.
I was just wondering, is it worth trying to summon the Ashim to protect our gear?
Up to you, dude.
You go around the plane as you're checking it, and he's carving a pen.
No,
it's okay. I'm going to summon these really cool guys called the Ashim.
No.
I'm not protecting.
Listen, your religious mumbo jumbo is not on my plane, okay? Like, magic is a scientific thing, okay? I'll explain it to you on the way.
Do I get a new spell sheet with my new life?
No, okay. Because Emmeline didn't know any spells.
Okay, that's cool.
Actually, you remember Emmeline finding something which somewhat reminds you of a spell. And everything went blank in her memory for a little while.
So during the flight, my character will pretend to sleep and be thinking, what the f*** have I forgotten? She's going to spend the flight just thinking, like trying to remember.
Okay. Reaching out into the memories of Emmeline.
Yeah.
What you could do is find a task you do with one of her skills and make a roll under that.
She's really good at literature, so she tells you a story. Emmeline tells you a story that she creates. She brings into that story characters who've previously been on quest, and she talks about the Argonauts and their quest, and she talks about labyrinths and searching for solutions, and she makes up this whole little story to help you pass the time.
I'm kind of driving the plane right now.
Okay.
This labyrinth sounds fascinating.
Thank you.
Mira, what did you like or did not like about your character?
I love the fact that I woke up and I was a journalist, a writer, kind of a modern girl. But I found it really difficult. Like, the spells are, they're like, I guess if you're playing D&D, they're almost like cantrip level.
Yeah, they're very bad.
I was expecting huge lightning to come out of my hands and you were like, your palm lights up. I was like, what? So, you know, that was kind of disappointing. And, you know, when one hears that she's a goddess, but then realizes the reality is kind of like, maybe you can sew something in your, you know, your sleeve. Yeah, that was a little bit disappointing.
I didn't pick the worst spells for you guys. I tried to pick stuff which were useful, but there's a lot of stuff which are congratulations. You can take your... a litter of dirt and move it in the air.
Yeah.
They're very atmospheric. And at the same time, the spells are described and the names of all the spells are described in really, well, very fancy words that sound very amazing, but the effects aren't necessarily amazing, depending.
It can be quite specific.
I think we were quite lucky. You did so much research and made the historical experiences seem so authentic. You built this whole world. And then when we were meeting NPCs as well, it was clear that they were developed and interesting. So the little kids that I really wanted to love me but hated me, stuff like this, I just thought it was, we were very lucky. You built an excellent world, so.
Thank you. And
thank you.
I'm going to take the time, and listeners should chase me for that. I want to write down that scenario and put online the characters in the Patreon. So if people are subscribing to the Patreon, because I don't give away enough bonuses to the patrons, they'd be able to run the game, to have the story and the character, everything ready for them to run that scenario. Because actually, there's a lot of stuff in store, which I just didn't have time to play. It's much better to be played as a campaign rather than a one-shot, I would say, in a film.
Yeah, I agree.
You worked so hard, I would pay for that adventure.
Yee.
How much?
£5.
You can start at $1 per episode. Or a review on iTunes, that's very nice also.
Yeah, a review on iTunes, please.
It's important that there's so little people reviewing on iTunes. Or Stitcher is so much easier.
It's Callum's birthday.
Generally, the apps don't make it easy for people to review at all, I think, no?
Stitcher is easier, but iTunes counts more.
Every time you do a review, you get a new simulacrum. So an extra body. Is that what they're called? The human things?
Simulacrum.
Every time you write a review, Callum will get a new one of those things.
I got loads which are pre-made, so that's great. So Robert, you played or you only ran the game?
The session that you ran, it's the first time I've ever played Nephilim. I've only ever run Nephilim.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
Is there any pre-generated character or NPC you created you were especially proud of?
Well, I had one, Shatala, who's he's a Pyrim, he's a Phoenix, he's a Fire Nephilim, he's a member of the Lovers Arcanum, Arcanum Cis, L'Amoureux, and they're very sensualist, and they're very...
They're nostalgic.
They're nostalgic,
they
yeah.
They get really attached to a time where they've been incarnated, and they just want to still live at that thing. They will live like 19th century, but they live today, but they will dress and everything, or even something much older than that.
Well, he was incarnated in mid-19th century France, and if anyone's played in My Cthulhu by Gaslight, you know that's one of my favourite times and places. So that's what he was like, and...
You mean dirty with a sewage system?
That's that as well. The Lovers Arcanum, they have these courts of love as well, that, and you managed to finally find one, run by... I got something off the internet that reckoned that Théophile Gautier was actually a lover's Nephilim. So he went to these parties and he was taking lots of strange substances, getting really drunk. And he wakes up in the morning and Gautier has accepted one of his poems for publication. And he just goes, I don't even remember writing that poem. And this happened to me on the London poetry scene in real life shortly afterwards.
Who's sitting next to me? Who's in the back?
I'm at the back. Carving, but a cabalistic.
Don't do that.
But this is science.
No. It's not science. It's a religious mumbo jumbo. I don't want it. Not on my watch. I'll show you what I do. Like, magic is science. There's rules to it, right? There's rules. Anyway, I'll tell you later. Just forget about it.
We're going to the foothills of the Pintus Mountains near the plain of Thessaly on the Pineus River.
Okay.
I can't be more specific.
Okay, you can roll for geography.
I have actually succeeded in a roll.
So you know it's in the heartland of mainland Greece, in Thessalonica. You can work out a flight plan.
Okay, cool.
So you're going to fly toward the nearest airport.
Thessaloniki, I guess.
But as you approach to your destination, a storm very quickly starts gathering.
Oh, guys, this happened last time. This is how I died.
Oh,
in a storm, flying.
Not flying. I was in some kind of substance that wasn't Earth.
Eh?
I use my car vision to look at the storm and see if it's magical.
Oh, yeah.
I will try to maintain the flight path.
I got 71, so I just made it.
You recognize the sort of patterns in the elemental fields of air.
Oh my god!
Slightly less water because you're not as close to the sea as the one which brought Philomimus to you is.
I quickly fill them in on the exact magical storm that kind of drowned my last Simulcrim.
Alright.
This is the same magic. This is a bad omen, but it means we're probably on the right track.
That's the main thing.
I said, can we land this thing now?
Is it here?
How far is the storm?
It caught you, really.
Oh my god.
It's really unusual the way it gathered.
Do any of us have any weather spells that could calm the weather? Just as a side note, I have Deception of Faith, where I can make someone doubt all of his religious convictions.
That's a great spell.
I've just, on my flight drive, my piloting checks, it
yeah, okay,
very successful.
You're going to start trying to just keep things together, not to fall at this point.
Presumably succeeding at getting things together. How big is the...
You're going to roll for that?
I just rolled for piloting at 10, so that was a success.
Oh, brilliant. Well, yes, then you manage to...
So am I trying to get out of the storm, in the storm, around it?
I think just try and land.
You lost a lot of altitude in your maneuvers to avoid the worst of the storm, but you're still pretty much in the middle of it. What you are wondering right now is you want to find a place to land as close as possible. You don't think you can make it to Thessaloniki.
Okay, all right. Is it nighttime or daytime? It's in the middle of the storm.
It's daytime, but it's very dark and the night is slowly falling.
I'm going to try to...
I cast Luminous Crescent and my hand blows and I hold it out the window so he can see where to land.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so I've got 42.
Okay, you start incanting to manipulate the magic field. You think you got that where they should be, but now you need to reach out in your car with them to shape the lunar fields towards your hands.
So you got your car roll as well?
Yeah, your car roll.
What's that? Just
it's singing in Christmas.
So you're
Moon is 75, and I've got 69. Lucky for some.
69, well done. She reaches her hand. A moon crescent appears in the palm of her hand, spreading light like a lamp torch.
Like a reverse bat signal.
I can't see anything now.
No, I'm not in his face.
I can't see anything.
No, I'm doing it out of the window so you can see where to land.
No, the only thing is...
Reroll immediately, piloting.
just made it harder. Turn it off.
Why did that... What was that? I turned
it
off.
Can you see out the window now?
I'm holding on the windscreen.
No, it doesn't work like that.
Roll again, piloting, because she blinds you a bit.
I think as soon as I realize he's blind, I close my head.
Like critical failure.
No, are you kidding? Why didn't that work? Wait.
I don't know if 95 a critical failure.
Why didn't that work?
Because if you add a lot of light in the cockpit, all this light is hanging outside.
My hand, it was coming out of my hand. I put it on the windscreen to go out.
If suddenly we look, it's nighttime outside. If we increase the amount of light, do we see better or less outside?
Less.
Right.
No! You should have done that speech on science to us. Oh my gosh.
So you lost a tremendous amount of altitude and you're just gonna... you're gonna make another roll. Just to crash land, really.
Do I have time to pull out a bottle of alchemy as I crash land?
Okay, yeah. Yeah, you could do that while you were talking to her. You would.
Well, so I just like hold the wheel and I just pull out a small bottle of Coke with black powder, white powder in it.
I hate when a DM lets you do really dumb things. And Emmeline is basically taken over by horror and fear and crumples to the floor of the cockpit, apologizing profusely.
Okay, that's
not helpful, I know.
You start concentrating. No, you're gonna project your dose.
Last minute, just on the floor as much as possible, as far as I understand.
So you roll under alchemy? 96.
96. That's all I roll. I roll 9.
Is that a fumble? Do you get to roll on the on the alchemical fumble table?
Okay, can you roll again and tell me the result?
15.
He throws some
powder, just break it, and then
throw it in your face.
In your face. There's lots of powder everywhere.
And then nothing happens.
Yeah.
Is this the scientific magic you're telling me about?
Shut up. Shut up, let me crash land the plane.
That's your final roll, and if you don't succeed, you crash.
I'll try a last resort.
Do you want the controls back now?
Mm-hmm. Oh, 0-3.
That's a critical success. So, you managed to flip the plane at the last minute, and you very violently crash land. And you fall all unconscious in the shock.
Honestly, I don't remember any of my old characters. It was too long ago.
You got the worst memory ever.
Very, very bad memory. I can tell you about the character I just played here, but people will hear about it, I guess. So
you can say what you enjoy or did not enjoy about it, what you thought was typical or not typical.
Can I say as well, I really enjoyed you playing a snarky character. Because when you warned me, I was like, why would you do this to us? But it worked so well. It was like some Hollywood scriptwriters had sat in a room and said, she's a stupid one. He's a snarky one, and I felt it worked really well, because when my character was like, loop, loo, let's try something crazy, you had like the driest lines. I thought that was wonderful.
Which was part of the idea. Like, I didn't have much time to prepare for the character that you gave us. And yeah, anyhow, just like, so it was a fire Nephilim, Pyrim, a salamander. Some of the descriptors of the animal, mythological animals, in addition to the elements, are like whether they're dry or humid, or whether they're angry or humérique ou colérique. Sorry, I'm speaking in French. So either angry or sentimental. I think let's just go with that right now. So there's a bunch of other descriptors. Anyway, the shorthands, I looked at it online very quickly. It seemed to be right that it would play it snarky. Just like that's what was like, I just thought that would be easy.
The funny bit also, on purpose, I made the scenario. I took into account what I heard from, I keep name dropping them at System Mastery because they had good points and I wanted to either
System Mastery.
They're very Jeff and John, I love them. No, but they made points and it inspired me, and not only System Mastery but also La Cellule, who made an episode about their campaign of Souffle du Dragon, Breath of the Dragon.
Which is a big campaign, the big published campaign of Nephilim, I think.
You need to be close, not to yell.
Big!
Sorry. I have a tendency to yell. I'm sorry, I apologize.
There were interesting comments, and one of the comments from La Cellule was that, oh yeah, but when you create your characters, they are not created as a group, so they are not coherent with each other. And I thought it was funny to do just that, to make a group which was not coherent. They said, okay, you got a mission, you've got something which I put in your background, I forced into saying, yeah, you got to do it because that's the mission, that's your last mission with them, and then you're done with those guys. Or yes, you love this organization, you like to do this job, but you got three characters who would never get together, who have to work together.
But I mean, just going into a little bit of detail, but I think the idea of creating a coherent group of players is more of an idea that came in the noughties, or even more recently, because all the games of the 90s, and all growing up at least, like none of the games rules had that kind of idea together. So it was very rare that the groups were coherent. And it's only a more recent idea of role-playing games, but that's just...
It's more recent, but is it something which was indeed lacking or not with a game like Nephilim?
I think that it's down to the group to play a more coherent group. So, and also I know that you created it in such a fashion that we were like, we were organized. We had a certain mission. We had orders. So whether we had coherent or not didn't matter. Coherent, sorry. But there's also that this was meant to be a one shot. If you know you're going to be playing in a campaign, it matters more that your group is coherent. I think anyway, but.
So if and when we all come to, the first thing I want to do is cast liquefaction of matter on both of them.
No, you cannot do on someone. It's an inanimate matter.
No, it erases. Oh, maybe the wrong thing has been written then. This says erases permanently the memory of the victim from all events of the past 1 hour. So that is what Emmeline would like to do when they wake up, and then she's going to pretend she had no idea why they crashed.
Okay, well, you're gonna, what we're gonna do then, we're gonna work out who's gonna wake up first.
Okay.
You're gonna roll each a roll of effort.
44 94 83.
None of us succeeded, I don't think.
I think my effort is 24 times 2.
I rolled the lowest.
Yeah, so Eligor, you wake up the first.
Can I see if anyone's wounded?
Yeah, sure. You start trying extracting yourself of the carcass. The main body of the plane is not intact, but kept its shape. At least you got nothing, no big injury. You look at the others, they just seem to be unconscious, but don't seem to have any serious injuries either. The wheels, the wings, all of that of the plane are gone, and you left the trail on the side of what you think is a rocky mountain or something. Okay. And it's night.
Can I try and wake them up?
Sure. You wake up.
I wake up and I immediately cast that spell.
Okay, so
70%.
Wait, who first?
Him.
Oh, okay. She wakes up and starts incanting in your direction.
What are you doing?
Right, here we go. What do I know what spell she's casting?
I'm going to pretend that I had a dream and I woke up and I was casting spells in a dream.
I'll just pick up some gravel or sand and just throw it in her face.
My lower magic skill.
To identify it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you identify it as Bite of Memory.
Why are you doing that?
I had a bad dream. I was doing it in a dream and then I woke up and it was happening. I'm sorry.
You can roll fast talk.
If I see her in Kent, I would just groggily pick up some just sand and gravel and just throw it in her face. To What are you doing?
And I roll 60.
So, yeah, she lies just like she lies.
I'm going to try and do something.
I thought that was a good lie.
What I'm going to do is...
I'm going to start drawing a Kabbalistic circle.
What? Calm down, everyone.
That takes several Ron, but you see him starting to...
No. Chill out. All right, all right.
Elohim Shachar.
Let's all calm down. Let's all calm down. Oh, my God. What is your problem?
Well, your alchemy sucks.
Right, I'm sorry about
your
that.
Your sorcery sucks.
I am sorry about that.
Cabal is the way to go.
I just got into a storm. It happens,
say,
guys.
Hey, right. Let's look at the plus. You saved us. We're all alive. And I say group hug.
Well, wait a second before the group hug. What are you trying to encounter exactly? What are you trying to invoke exactly? What the hell's going on? I was trying to save us from the plane.
She was trying to eat some of my memory.
No. He's asking. I was trying to cast light so you could see where to land, and I didn't think it's...
Yeah, that was a fail. Thank you very much.
I'm very sorry.
Please don't do that again.
And then she woke up and she's trying to cast some memory-stealing magic.
I had a dream.
Where are we going now?
I had a dream.
I'm like, just, all right. Well, this
I'm really
is completely
sorry.
Screwed.
But yeah, group hug. Let's move on from here.
Oh my God. Let's please move on. Like, let's just get
Emily,
this stuff
like,
done.
Emily, like, launches so herself at the two of them, gives them a hug, and pushes open the plane door and says, "Here we come," and jumps out of the plane.
Okay.
I would feel happier with some magical help. I really would.
Sorry?
I would really feel happier with some magical help.
Magical help? Yeah. With what kind do you want?
Some of my friends from one of the other worlds.
What do they do?
Well, different ones do different things.
Well, like, what do you want now?
I could summon a very useful warrior for us. That might come in very handy.
Warrior?
Yes.
We're going to meet a friend.
Are they invisible? Because they don't particularly appreciate that kind of thing around here.
I wouldn't say invisible. Sort of, you remember, I described him when we were talking.
Do they stick around?
For a while, not indefinitely.
Listen,
I mean, it's up to you. Like, I don't, you know, you have time to do that here, but like, do we need it?
No one goes to a slumber party with an AK-47. We're going to see friends. Save your spells when we need them.
Sword.
Yeah, no one goes to a slumber party with an automatic machine gun, but we are taking a sword. That's fine. Turning up with an uninvited warrior, I don't know how that would go down.
He's only a really short guy, sort of bluish.
Come on, let's go.
So how far is it from here?
I think it's about 5 miles.
Wow,
she has no idea.
I don't believe anything that's coming out with.
You can roll astrology to try to locate yourself.
Let me just look at the stars, you guys.
Okay.
Thank God it's still night, eh? I roll an 86.
Oh, that's critical success.
Yes, because I don't really have astrology, so thank God for that. Yeah, so where are we going?
Going to that place I told you about.
Well, can I help her with the astrology? Like, well, this is here, this is here, this is here.
Yeah, you help her and you start.
Okay. So he tells me the astrology, and then I tell him where we need to go and how far away it is.
Okay, so you succeeded?
No, failed.
You failed.
But he helps.
Okay. It's still... Well, there was critical success. She's full of
You have no idea what you're talking about. Do you even know where we're going?
I'm so confused.
Mars is here. Venus is here. This is the North Light. Where are we going?
If we go to a party, I just an idea. I could summon a double, you know, and get him to do it for me.
I don't usually do this.
I just start walking the direction I think it is with his help from the stars.
You pretty much go not exactly the opposite of where you were thinking, but
all right,
over there.
I'll just trust you for now.
So I assume you take the duffel bag.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, we take all the stuff.
Yeah. So just to be clear, you got you got 3 swords in there. How many handguns would you have taken along with you?
20.
What?
So he was in charge
of that.
It's the mid-90s.
I guess we have... handguns for everyone and a couple of machine guns if we can.
What?
No, handguns. Two handguns for everyone.
Maximum 1 machine gun.
1 machine gun, 2 swords.
I don't want... Do I even know how to use a sword?
Yeah, good melee.
I have a sword, a knife, a machine gun, and a handgun. He gets a handgun.
I want
a handgun. I brought a handgun for her.
I have like I have a Walther PPK like James Bond.
And you can have a Swiss Army knife.
He's got a Beretta.
In 1995, James Bond didn't use a Walther PPK. He used a Heckler & Koch, I think.
And thank you for destroying my dreams.
Okay, so
what's your weapon of choice?
My sword, my magic sword, Xanderfloss.
Yeah, I don't have that. I just have a normal sword.
What happened to the Xanderfoss? You guys said you had it.
No, I don't have it. I haven't got it.
Okay.
Yeah, your friend, sorry, your friend, what's his name again? Swiney?
Swiney Boy.
Yeah, Swiney Boy has it. Once we finish getting you out of here, I'll give it to you.
I take a normal sword and I have a handgun.
This episode included Salta of Frango, or theme song by Bandido Roll, which you can download for free on the Free Music Archive. If you haven't heard yet, we've got a little contest going on with the team of Shadows of Esteron to win 2 tickets for their live concert at the UK Games Expo. As a reminder, you just need to send me a message via Facebook, email or Twitter, preferably with the hashtag #EsteronUKGEconcert. The spelling's gonna be in the description of the email. And the idea is to send me a little memory or suggestion you have regarding a connection between music and role-playing games. So I've got a first entry from Moira O'Mahony. Best experience was Call of Cthulhu meeting Louis Armstrong, listening to jazz through the whole session. Well, that sounds quite cool indeed. So nice entry, thanks Moira. Check the details of the contest in the description of this episode. We've got also the Academicon Kickstarter for the RPGs Academy own convention going on. Again, check the description of this episode for a link and a little explanation. Le Drinks and Dice, or monthly social drink in London. Again, check the description of the episode. We've got also, you might have seen on Twitter or Facebook, a survey which I started for you listeners, so I'm asking you questions. And the results of the survey will help determine what were your favorite episodes, what were your favorite songs. And this will be the foundation of the special episode celebrating the 2nd year of the Rollist podcast. So please, again, check the description of this episode and follow the link and fill out this survey. There's also a link to a playlist with all the songs from the Free Music Archive, which I included in previous episodes. So it's quite a cool listen to bring out memories and find out which song is your favorite. Please leave reviews on iTunes and Stitcher. Check the Patreon. And that will be it. See you for part 3 of episode 20 in a couple of weeks or so. And in the meantime, have good games. A gente só mostrou mais foda, a gente só muda. Alegria da moçada da perua favelada. Nosso som é fantasia pra mamãe, vovó, titia. Rolê, rolê, rolê. Solta o frango e vem com a gente. Rolê, rolê, rolê. Solta o frango e vem com a gente. Nós é tipo bem Jesus, todo mundo a gente ama. Ainda mais se for gatinha, rola até levar pra cama. A gente topa tudo, sapatão e bigodudo. Na hora do piriri, cai em mim outra vesti.
Vai, batuque!
Rolê, rolê, rolê. Solta o frango e vem com a gente. Rolê, rolê, rolê.
So as a woman, I'd like to set back feminism by 300 centuries and say, I love there's a role-playing game where you have a smell assigned to you. That appeals to me so much.
Yes.
We can continue now.
I don't see the connection with feminism anyway.
Well, because, you know, it kind of sucks for a woman to go, I like to smell nice. You know, we have other shit that we could be doing.
I like to smell nice too.